Sunday the 12th of March 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose Driven Life. Sermon title, Made to be Like Christ, Part 2. Bible reading, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 14. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Thanks be to God.
The Bible, a book that contains stories of 9-foot giants, families who live to be 1,000 years old, food that falls from heaven, and epic wars. Cities turn to ash from the rage of tyrants, kings cast down, men dying in the dust of battle. One of the most controversial books in history, some people claim it even holds the answers to life and death. The Bible was written by 40 different authors, representing a diverse group of people. They range from a doctor, a few shepherds, farmers, fishermen, tax collectors, and kings. With over 6 billion copies in print, the Bible is actually a compilation of 66 books written over 1,600 years. This makes it one of the oldest books in existence. It's also one of the most documented books ever. There are over 10,000 ancient manuscripts supporting its accuracy and consistency with original writings. Parts of the Bible, like Proverbs, read like self-help. "It is better to live alone in the desert than with a crabby, complaining wife." Or, "Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those in anguish." Other parts read like love poetry that conservatives don't want you to hear. "You are slender like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters of fruit. I said, I will climb that palm tree and take hold of this fruit." There are rules to live by too, like, don't murder people. 4 books of the Bible are biographical accounts of Jesus, called the Gospels. And then there are historical books about people like Moses, Noah, and occasionally, bears. Then 2 bears came out of the woods and mauled 43 of the youths. Right now, copies are being smuggled across borders. It's sitting in the pocket of a pastor being arrested. It's being read in jail cells and on deathbeds. It was tucked in the hold of the Mayflower. Without a doubt, it's a provocative and controversial book. Love it or hate it, believe it or don't, but decide for yourself. As the number one best-selling book in history, it just might be worth the read.
Isn't it amazing? I always find it amazing that when Jesus is faced with the devil, he quotes scripture at him. He quotes the word of God and he silences him. Folks, we're well into this book by now, Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. I wonder how many people have gone out and got a copy for themselves. It's a great book. I hope that you have. And it fits really well. We're looking at what Rick Warren calls the third purpose of your life. And the third purpose of your life, he says, is to become Christ-like. And that fits well here at St. Chad's because we're seeking to be Christ inside and out. We're seeking to grow our hearts to be closer to Christ's heart. We want our thoughts to be like his thoughts, our words, our actions to mimic him. And Warren's got an interesting take on Christian transformation. He says that it's a process of replacing lies with truth. And what he means is that actually anything that is not of God is ultimately a lie. And he backs that up with some of Jesus' words from John 17. Sanctify them by your truth, said Jesus. And then he clarifies that, your word is truth. Sanctification, the ongoing action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it requires revelation, says Rick Warren. And what he means is that the Spirit of God will use the word of God to make you and I like the Son of God. Because the Word of God is unlike any other word in the whole world. Jesus said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. When God speaks, things change. He spoke and creation came into being. When God spoke, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. When he spoke again, it stopped and a rainbow came out. And then God said that was an eternal sign to show that getting rid of the old to replace it with the new is never his intention. Because he loves us. He loves you and me. He loved what he had made in the first place. But the truth of God's love for us and for all of creation only comes to us through the Bible, through God's word. James in chapter 1 speaks of us being the first fruits. And what he means is the first fruits of the kingdom of heaven, when we take in the Bible. Without the word of God, we simply exist. But with the word of God dwelling in us, we belong. With the word of God dwelling in us, we become children of God, heirs to the throne. We become those first fruits. Rick Warren says this, the Bible is far more than a doctrinal guidebook. God's word generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstance, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses our minds, brings things into being and guarantees our future forever. We can't truly live without the word of God, and therefore we shouldn't take it for granted. And actually, much more than that, he says, we must feed on it, be nourished by it. Job, the Old Testament hero, said this, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. They said of John Newton, the slave trader turned disciple, if you had cut him open, instead of blood running out, verses of the scripture would have been bled out from him because he fed on scripture so much. Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Remember what he said about bread. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's the word of God that is the life of you and I. The nourishment that we need. And of course we need natural food too. I love a good steak and chips. But we do need spiritual food in some form or another if we're going to become Christ inside and out. Jesus said, abide in my word and you will truly become my disciples. You will know truth and the truth will set you free. And of course Jesus gives us that great picture of abiding in John 15 when he speaks of the vine and the branches, and it's the same for you and for me. Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're branches that produce no fruit. We're going to be cut off and thrown in the fire. But with him, when we abide in Jesus, in his teachings, in his word, in all the scriptures that point to him, then we produce fruit, and it's fruit that will last. So how do we get transformed by God's word? Well, Rick Warren suggests three things, and they all begin with a T to make it easier for us. The first is simply this. We need to trust God's word. Trust God's word. When you're making a big decision in your life, I wonder how many of you open the Bible to help you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I believe fully that the Bible is there to help us at the crossroads of our life. I put together a little thing here. This is the five P's. The next slide there, Colin. This is called the five P's. This is what people use when they are trying to discern the call of God on their lives. The first P, passion. Who are you? What are the passions that burn within you? We've been asking that on the leadership team in our recent meetings. What sets your heart on fire? The second one is prophecy. What do others speak over you? A word of prophecy, a picture that you've been given by somebody outside or a word given, a verse from the Bible or whatever. Pals, wise friends, wise counsel. People that you can trust who will speak into your life because they love you for who you are and they want the best for you. Passageway. Do doors open and close when you push them, when you're exploring your call? And the last one is passages. What does your quiet time tell you? What are you reading in the Bible? And it's one of the essential ingredients. That's why we don't just dip into a Bible ad hoc, because that way we can be choosing for ourselves to read the bits that we want to hear. Doesn't allow God to speak to us. We say to God, Lord, I'm going to read a chapter of John's Gospel every day this month. And then God can put that into his timing. And through it, he can speak to us. And when these things all conspire together, then we go for it. Then we step out, we risk. We believe that God is then calling us. But Rick Warren says that we use the wrong things in our life. When we're trying to decide what we've got to do with our life, we use the wrong things, he says. He says we turn to these. He says we turn to culture. We look around and we see what everybody else is doing. And then we think it's okay to do it. Or he says tradition. Well, we've always done it this way. He says reason. We use reason. Well, it seemed logical to me. Or sometimes we use emotions. It just felt right at the time. And the trouble is, he says, all of those are human responses. And it doesn't take us long to see that humanity is flawed, as with all of creation. And therefore our responses, if they're of ourselves, are flawed. The only real place where truth exists is found in the Creator, not in the created. King Solomon said this, every word of God is flawless. When Paul was writing to his progeny Timothy, he said this, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in all righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good task. Words matter. I came upon these thoughts of words the other day. Someone once said this, the four most beautiful words in the English language, I told you so. All footballers are bilingual. They can speak both English and profanity. This was on an Australian government tax helpline. If you speak English, please press 1. If you don't speak English, please press 2. This is the one that I like the most. My girlfriend and I often laugh about how competitive we both are. Obviously, I laugh the most. Friends, words are important. They're important to us. And we need to find words that we can trust. Words that we can rely on when we're in need of help. And the best place to find those words is in the Bible. It's a great question, isn't it? When you're at a crossroads in your life, when you've got a decision to make in your life, do you turn to the Word of God and open Scripture? I'll leave that one with you. Number 2, we need to be transformed by the Word of God. James again, but this time from the Message version. I love this Message version. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the Word, making a salvation garden for your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener of the word when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. But act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. I love that. It's a great description, isn't it? I think I've told the story of Billy Graham before, but it's such a powerful story. He's on a flight over in America, and the guy sat, there's this huge, massive guy sat in front of him who's been drinking. And as the flight goes on, The guy gets more and more abusive and starts swearing and cursing and cussing and shouting. And one of the stewardesses goes up to him and says, "Please, sir, Mr. Billy Graham is sat behind you. He doesn't want to hear words like that." And with that, this huge man lurches to his feet and he spins round and he extends his hand out to Billy Graham. He says, "Shake my hand, Mr. Billy Graham." He says, "Because you have changed my life. I read the Bible and I listen to your talks all the time. And you've changed my life." What do you think? Had the word of God changed his life? When he's behaving like that? There are lots of you here today with one of these. This piece of paper is 31 years old this year. It's our marriage certificate. Me and Mrs. Court. Now, normally, of course, it's my job to take the Michael out of my family, and Julie's not here, so I would have free rein today. But I'm going to be nice. Don't tell her. Please don't tell her. Don't give the game away. Here's the question. Do you think I've been changed by this bit of paper, or more importantly, by the words that were said and the act of marriage in way back 1986? You bet I've been changed. I'm completely different and changed for the better. As a teenager, my thoughts were all about me, but when we get married, our hearts grow so that we can encompass another person. And by the grace of God, Julie and I had Simon and Charlotte, and again my heart was allowed to grow so that I can encompass their lives too. When I was single, I was single. I had to think for myself. And you know straight away, that ain't always going to be good, Martin. Now I've got a sounding board, a wise counsel, and a loving wife who wants the very best for me. If two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone, asks the Bible. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. I'm still me, I'm still Martin, with all the wonderful attributes that brings. But I'm changed. Because I've allowed change to come through Julie and through my children influencing me, how I am, who I am, what I think. And they've influenced me simply because of that. I've allowed it. But I've wanted to encompass them in my life. It's been a pleasure and it's been a delight. Please don't go telling her that. Otherwise she'll think I'm after something. Ladies, we can be complimentary without wanting something in return. Let me just put that out there for you. It's the same with the Word of God. Because I trust it. Because I believe that it's true, and because I believe that God wants the very best for me, I allow it to transform me. I turn to it and I read it, asking God to make me a better person through it. I dig into it, very deliberately allowing it to alter my thinking. And that's what it will do if we allow it to. God's word will transform us. It will influence us in good ways. It will direct us. If we want to be transformed for the good, we have to trust God's word. We have to allow God's word to transform us. And then lastly, we have to train ourselves in God's word. To get the most out of it, we have to understand it as fully as we can, as best we can. What it meant when it was written, what it means today, what it means for our future. Warren says there's five ways of doing that. None of them rocket science, but he gives us five ways. They're all very quick and very short, but let's just go through them. The first is simply that we have to read the Word of God. Sounds silly, doesn't it? We've got to read it. A quiet time is a command from God. Deuteronomy chapter 17. It was originally given to just the leaders because Bibles weren't freely available. Of course, Bibles are freely available now. We all have one, but back in those days they didn't have. And it says this, when he takes the throne of his kingdom, for you and for me, that's our family, that's our home, that's our workplace, whatever it is, when we take the throne of our kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law taken from that Levitical priest. And it is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life. We have to read the Bible. People say to me they're too busy, they haven't got time to read the Bible. Rick Warren says if you read the Bible for just 15 minutes a day, you will have read the whole of the Bible from start to finish in 1 year. And you can get it on apps and downloads and websites and all sorts. There's a talking Bible app. It's great if you're driving along or if you're on a train or whatever, walking to work. HDB do a Bible in a Year series, just a little short little thing. You can read it. It takes 5 minutes. There's no excuse really for us these days to not be opening our Bible. And as Bill Hybels said, I can't do it for you. Only you can read your Bible, but we have to read it. Number two, we've got to receive it. Can't just read it as if it's another book. We've got to receive it. We had the parable of the sower on Tuesday at our Lent course. Our Lent course was fantastic, wasn't it? Hugh Dibbins, what a cracking guy he is. The soil has to be in a position to accept the seed. Because we want God's word to take root in our lives and to produce fruit, don't we? James 1, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent around us and humbly accept the word which is planted in you, which can save your soul. Who of us here this morning doesn't want our soul saved? So that when we get to heaven, we meet our loved ones again and we all glorify God together. Read it, receive it, and then research it. Number three, study it, dig into God's word. That's what our Lent course is all about. That's what our home groups are all about. That's why we give out the free Bible pamphlets, because they're just a little grapple with God's word, a little 2-minute grapple. Can't just read it like it's another book. We have to question it, fight with it, because God is right. My ways are not your ways. There are things in the Bible that are difficult to understand. The first shall be last. We know it. Every person in this room could repeat that. The first shall be last. What on earth does that mean? Let alone what does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? So we have to study it. We have to struggle it. Number four, we have to remember it. Lots of people in this church are very good at quizzes. We love quizzes. We remember all sorts of things, don't we? Facts, figures, names, dates, all sorts. Because they're important to us. Rick Warren says, guys, we've got to remember Scripture. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he came out with Scripture. He memorized Scripture. And he silenced the devil with it. You and I need Scripture to come out. There was a vicar once, he was going to a meeting, had an important meeting, couldn't find a parking space anywhere, had to park on the double yellow lines. He left a little note in the window. I'm ever so sorry, I'm a vicar in the Church of England. I've got to park in the WL. I can't find a parking space. And if I don't park here, I'll be late for my meeting. Forgive us our trespasses. When he came back, he got a parking ticket. And the warden had written a little note. He said, I'm a traffic warden. I've been working these streets for 10 years. If I don't give out tickets, I'll lose my job. Lead me not into temptation. Guys, can you draw on Scripture verses for your daily living? Remembering Scripture will help us to resist temptation. It will help us to make wise decisions. It will help reduce our stress, build our confidence, give us access to good advice, share our faith with others, be good parents, be good husbands and good wives, help the poor, have a heart for the needy, be hopeful in life, see this life for what it really is, on and on and on. Scripture does these things. It's a wonderful tool for us. Got to have it in our hearts. Colossians 3 says this, remember what Christ taught and let his words enrich your lives and make you wise. Read, receive, research, remember, and then lastly, we need to reflect on God's word. We need to meditate on the word, to let it wash over us, as some people call it. If you know how to worry, says Rick Warren, you know how to meditate. Because worry is just focus on a particular thing. And that's all that meditation is. We just focus on a particular thing. The great fathers of our faith would take one word or maybe a verse or two at the most. And they would live with that word or those couple of verses from Scripture for the whole week. Just letting them, they'd just be repeating them, repeating them, repeating them, letting them wash over. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, said Jesus, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15, what a promise that is. And it's a promise for those who meditate on God's word. I am absolutely convinced that some of the things that happen in my life, some of the times when I've got my diary wrong, but it all turns out right in the end, is because God is blessing me. Because I honour him with my time, my quiet time in the morning. And I stick in his word. Joshua 1 and verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I see it happening in my own life. I've never won the lottery. I'm not a millionaire. But I am given everything I need. For every situation that I go into, all the time. Friends, the word of God is the breath of the disciple. And if we're serious about becoming Christ inside and out, then we've got to get into the word of God. I'll leave you with this. Mahatma Gandhi once said this about the Bible. You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, to turn the whole world upside down, and to bring peace to a battle-torn planet, but you treat it as though it was nothing more than a piece of literature. He believes that Christians are not serious about the Bible. He's talking about you and me. He believes that we do not read it enough. He believes that we do not study it enough. He believes that we do not know it enough. He believes that when we come to a crossroads in our lives, we don't open it because we don't trust it. Friends, I would love to lead a church that would prove him wrong. Can we be a church that would prove him wrong? Can we open the Bible more? Normally in Lent, we would give up things. This Lent, I'm going to ask you, will you take something up? Will you be determined to read your Bible? Every house has got a Bible in it. When was the last time the Bible in your house was opened and read on a regular basis? Because if we're serious about becoming Christ inside and out, we've got to be reading the Word of Christ, the Word of God, that will enrich our lives. Let's stand together. I'm going to call the worship team to come back up. Lord Heavenly Father, sometimes the simplest of things are actually the things that bring the most results and the best results. And we, each one of us in this room today, know the Word of God is a living Word. We know that. But I rather suspect that if the rest of the people are like me, Lord, sometimes we just don't turn to it enough. Sometimes we don't sit with it enough. Sometimes we don't read it enough. To allow it to transform us, to allow it to be inspirational to us, directive. Heavenly Father, just earlier in the service we said a prayer of confession and we confessed our sins. I wonder if we need to confess this morning our poverty in your word. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you turn that around? Would we be a church based on Scripture, based on your Gospels, based on your teaching, based on your truth, based on your love? Would you inspire us to pick up our Bibles again? Would you inspire us back into our quiet times? Would you inspire us, Lord? And would it be for your glory? Lord, you love us. And that's why you've given it to us. Help us to accept that love. Help us to open that book. And to read of your grace and your mercy and the wonder of your love once more. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.